saw Jesus crucified. I spoke to him as he died. I saw him in his struggle. I watched as he breathed his last breath, and when he stopped breathing, I lost my breath too. The one who walked on water is no more. The one who fed 5,000 is now food for the worms. And if he has been defeated, what does that mean for me? I thought that he would be the king who would rise up and rule our nation. I thought that we were the ones to bring truth and revelation, but it turns out we were wrong. I mean, maybe we imagined this all along. As I watched his body taken down from the cross, I saw my friend was gone. And he was the one who found me. How could this be? He must have gone before his time. It must have been too soon. It must have been an illusion or a dream. He can't be in a tomb. I can't come to grips with the thought that the man who claimed to be I Am was slain by the hands of men. And then, she burst through the door. Our friend Mary, she said, someone had taken the body of the Lord. So we ran to the tomb, only to find an empty room. And the stone was rolled away. I looked on the floor, and I saw his clothes. And that's when I knew. He rose. Jesus is alive. He did walk on water. He did feed the 5,000. He did raise Lazarus from the dead and heal thousands. He did make the wine. He did talk to God. He did pray for those who put him on the cross, and he raised back to life. Just like Lazarus, except for he would never die again. Jesus took death. Nails in his hands. Nails in his feet. A crown of thorns on his head. For you. He laid his life down, and he took it back again. Jesus is alive.
He is risen. Let me try again. He is risen. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. It's such a blessing. Today, we join churches all across the world. The same day, everybody's celebrating the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the power that gives us hope. That's the power that makes us think over and over that things are not over when we make mistakes, when we sin, when we fall in life. That's not the end of it. There is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it was the love of God that caused Jesus to come to earth and to offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross to forgive the world of its sins. And it is the love of God that continually offers us a new life through our risen Savior. So today we celebrate. Today we celebrate. And it's a beautiful time. It doesn't matter the rain. It doesn't matter anything. Anything can come against us, but nothing will stop the love of God. And so we this morning, we celebrate starting with a great breakfast this morning. So those who were here, it's hard for me to preach when I'm full now, but hey, it was great. The huevo con chorizo, all that stuff, that's chorizo and the eggs and all that stuff, can't help it. But we got to celebrate. We got to celebrate. Today we worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. So it was a week before Easter, and a Sunday school teacher gave the children in her class an assignment. She said, next week on Easter Sunday, bring a plastic egg. One of these eggs. Bring a plastic egg. And when you bring the plastic egg, just put something inside that is meaningful to you about Easter. So Easter came, and the teacher took each child's plastic egg and opened it up in front of her class to see. So the first egg she opened had a little flower in it, and she talked about how Easter is the beginning of a season, and things are blooming, and it's a sign of new life. So then the teacher opened up the second egg. And the second egg had a picture drawn inside the egg about Jesus, a picture of Jesus. She held it up and she talked about Easter, how Easter is the story of Jesus' resurrection. So then she opened up the third egg, and a little nail was in the egg, and this little girl had brought a nail in her little egg, Easter egg, and to be reminded of the nails that were placed in the hands and in the feet of Jesus when he hung on the cross. And then there was an egg with the little pebble. And in this child's egg, he used it to remind us of, the stone that was rolled away in front of the tomb when Jesus was buried there. The last egg came to the teacher's desk, and that day, when the little boy, 7-year-old little boy, brought the egg, this little boy named Brian, with mental disability, brought his egg, and the teacher opened it up, and the egg was completely empty. The egg was completely empty, and the whole class laughed. The whole class laughed. This little boy was mentally challenged. And so the class laughed. But not to worry. Brian himself spoke up. And when he spoke up, he said, "My egg is full of emptiness, just like the tomb of Jesus. My egg is full of emptiness, just like the tomb of Jesus." A 7-year-old with mental disability understood what so many people through history have tried to deny over and over and over, and even fought against the fact that the tomb was empty. Some people even got paid. The soldiers got paid to say, hey, they stole the body. They got paid so they can lie. And so many people through history have tried to deny the power of the resurrection. Have you ever seen somebody rise from the dead? Have you ever witnessed somebody rise from the dead? Only the power of Jesus can do that. The power of God rose Jesus from the dead. And today I want to talk to you about the changing power of the resurrection. The changing power of the resurrection. I don't know if you ever gone through this. I don't know if you ever tried to change something about you. Have you ever tried to change something about you that you know it needs to change? Have you ever tried to change something about your personality, your way of thinking, the way you do things sometimes? Have you ever tried to change something in your life and you find yourself going around in circles, around and around and around? It's like, you know what? I tried and I think I changed, but I don't change. Because change has to come from the heart. Change has to come from the heart. So I love the story of the resurrection, because the story of the resurrection helps me to see the power that can help us change when we need change as human beings. And somehow, at one point or another in life, we all need change. We all need to change certain things about us. And when we try again and again in our own power, it doesn't happen. Real change doesn't happen, because it has to come from the heart. Sometimes we especially try to change the mistakes that we had made in our lives in the past. We made so many mistakes. We made bad decisions. That has brought us a lot of times a lot of hurt in our lives and a lot of hurt in our families. Let me explain about the power of change. In Mark chapter 16, we have the story of the powerful resurrection. And in Mark chapter 16, it tells the story about the resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus. Very early, on that first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid his, where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. I want you to pay attention to that. Where this angel is telling these women, go tell his disciples, but he makes clear, make sure you tell Peter. Make sure you tell Peter. I wonder how many of us can identify with somebody like Peter. If you don't know who Peter was, you will know a little bit today about him. And then he said, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to everyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, they appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they didn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. It was too much to believe. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different way, in a different form to two of them. While they were walking in the country, these returned and reported to the rest, but they didn't believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubbornness, their refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. All of those who were warned at that moment, they were warned of such a great miracle. None of them believed that the Lord had risen. They had a hard time because the power of the resurrection is so powerful that it was hard for them to believe. They couldn't even understand until they finally saw him and he explained to them what had happened. Yet the same power that rose Christ from the dead is the power of God that today transformed things, transformed lives. It's the same power that can actually change things for good. A lot of times people find themselves looking for external transformation. By all means, they try. And we try one thing after another. But the inner is the reality. It's what has to change inside of us. It's what's got to change inside of each person. It can only be transformed by the power of God. Only God can transform the inner part of man. And in the Bible we find a man who, despite of his grave faults, he was transformed by the power that rose Christ from the dead. This man was Peter. And if you notice when we read the text in verse 7, Peter had so many problems. Peter had so many flaws, just like you and me. He was very imperfect, just like you and me. And Peter needed change. And in verse 7, the angel makes sure that he told the women, make sure you tell the disciples, but you also tell Peter. Why was he so specific? Why was he so specific in making sure you tell Peter? Let me go back a couple of chapters before chapter 16 that we just read. In chapter 14, it says that when they had sang a hymn before Jesus' crucifixion, they were singing a hymn and they went out of the Mount of Olives, and you will fall away, Jesus told them. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. So Jesus had already told them what was going to happen. But Peter, being Peter, he declared, even if all fall away, Lord, I will not. I will not do what you're telling me that I'm going to do. I will not. So Peter was hard-headed. Just like many of us. Peter was stubborn. Peter was prideful. And he said, I will not do that. You're wrong, Lord. I'm not going to do that. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. So, but Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you, Lord. And all the others said the same thing. Notice also how the other disciples used to follow Peter. There are so many people that like to be followers, right? So here are a bunch of followers following Peter and his mistakes. He's making a huge mistake. He's arguing with the Lord before his crucifixion. Pride, close-minded, stubbornness. He was even violent. In verse 47, we can see that. The moment of truth had arrived. And Peter, this is what Peter really did. If we go moving ahead in verses 67 of the same chapter 14, it says that when a girl saw Peter warming himself among the crowd, she looked at him closely at him. You also were with the Nazarene. You also were with the Nazarene Jesus, she said. And Peter, the first thing he did was what he said he was never going to do. I will die before I do that. The first thing he did was what he said he was not going to do. And he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about. What are you talking about? He said. And went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. Again, Peter denied for the second time. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean. He began to call down curses. He was cursing all over the place. And he swore to them, and I don't know these men. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know these men you're talking about. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words of Jesus, the word that Jesus had spoken to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. Peter knew he had made a mistake. Peter knew he had failed at that moment. And he went down and wept. He broke down and wept. When you read this text, you notice right away that Peter was destroyed. He had made the wrong decision. He had made a mistake. He had denied the Lord. He has done what he said he would never do. And when Peter was, he must have felt destroyed. He must have felt pain, hurt, pain, so much pain in his heart. He had made a mistake. The man who was physically strong like Peter, strong-willed, independent, in every sense, now he was crying like a little baby because he had failed. He had failed his Lord. Have you ever hurt yourself because of decisions that you've made in your life? Have you ever hurt yourself or maybe hurt others around you because of the bad decisions that sometimes we make in our lives? Here was Peter. Perhaps he was feeling like many of us feel many times when we fail to. And in Matthew and in Luke, it says that he wept bitterly. So he was hurt. But here's one thing. When the risen Savior, when Jesus rose from the dead, the power of the resurrection transformed that whole situation. And so I love this story of the resurrection. It transformed this situation. There are two great things that happen here. Two great things that happen to Peter. Number one, what we see is that the power of the resurrection nullifies the failures of the past. It nullified the failures of the past. Peter had failed, and perhaps at this point he thought there was no more hope for him. But our God is a God of second chances. I love it. God is God of second chances. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, it says that the angel tells the woman, tell them and make sure you tell Peter. This is the reason why he was saying, make sure you tell Peter. Because he knew that Peter had failed. He knew how Peter felt. He knew that Peter knew that he had failed his Lord. He had done what he said he wasn't going to do. He felt like a failure. And Jesus says, but you're not done, Peter. That, it's not going to be it. There is a chance again and again and again. And until you don't go to be with the Lord or you don't go out of this world, God keeps on giving us chances over and over. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see Him just as He told you. Your recent Savior Jesus has rose from the dead. And now, don't worry about it, Peter. There is a second chance. Make sure you tell Peter. Why Peter? Because he was probably destroyed. He was at this moment, he knew his sin and his bad decision had hurt himself because of that. And he told, make sure you tell Peter, because he wanted to encourage Peter. He wanted to encourage Peter. And when I think about that, just like Peter, God wants us to understand that the power of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection can nullify our past failures, our past mistakes. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says that Jesus died for our sins. Now, if Jesus would only die and not rise from the dead, then there would be nothing. It would just be another dead man. But the fact that he rose from the dead makes the whole difference in life. Jesus died for our sins, he says, and he raised to life for our justification. What is justification? So he rose from the dead for our justification. Justification, when you are justified, what it means is that just as you have done nothing wrong. Because of his resurrection, when you put your trust in Jesus, he takes it like you have done nothing wrong. You are justified. Justification means just as you have done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong at all. Because you repent. Because you give your life to that one that rose from the dead, to that one that has the power to change things. Jesus died for our sins and was raised to life for our justification, to make sure that when you repent, when you trust in that power that rose him from the dead, that you are forgiven just as if you have done anything wrong. And Jesus told Peter, basically, make sure you tell Peter, I rose from the dead to justify you. Jesus died for our sins so we can be justified. Have you ever had the desire to change something in your life that you have done in the past? Have you ever had that desire? Something that didn't go the way you thought it would go. And sometimes we feel like a failure. Sometimes we feel like we might not have another chance. But Jesus died for us, for our sins. So he paid for the sins, but he rose from the dead to give us hope that there is another day tomorrow. That the rain might be pouring today, but eventually we'll see the sun shine. Many times we already know that, you know, what our mistakes have been in life. God already knows. But we know, and we are aware that, you know, that we have made many mistakes. And maybe that shouldn't happen, but it did. The beautiful thing about this is that Jesus died for those mistakes. Jesus died for those sins. And if you repent, and we saw God's forgiveness, Jesus says, I rise for those sins and I justify you. So it's like you haven't done anything wrong. Even the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43 verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. When God forgives you, when you ask for forgiveness, the risen Savior forgives you. He gives you a new chance. He gives you another try. And if you fall again, he gives you another try. As long as you ask for forgiveness, he keeps on giving you another try. But when he gives you another try, he says, forget the former things. Forget those things. Forget those mistakes. Forget those sins. Do not dwell in them. Remember and make sure that I died to justify you and I rose from the dead to give you justification as if you have done anything. But we have to make a decision to repent. Repent of our sins, repent of our mistakes, repent of our past. Do not dwell in the past. In other words, don't let the past torture you. Jesus has the power to change that. Why does that happen? Why do the past torture us many times? We feel like it's torturing us. Why? The reason is because the Bible says that God, when God forgives your sins, God throws to the bottom of the sea all of my sins. And the Bible says that when we repent, He takes our sins and He throws them to the bottom of the sea. But the problem is that a lot of us like to go fishing. And when we go fishing for the mistakes that we made in the past. And if we don't go fishing, we have people around us that are good to go fishing, right? And they're good at reminding us of our mistakes. But God does not do that. God gives you hope. God tells you, you know what? Yes, you sin. Yes, you made a mistake. Yes, you fail. But here I am. The power of the resurrection is giving you another chance. I just wonder sometimes, do we take advantage of that chance that God is giving us every day? Do we take advantage of that chance and just say, Lord, I know I failed. I know I did what I wasn't supposed to do. But I know that you also forgive me. And because you forgive me, I know I get another chance. Help me to get better with this. That's the beauty of the power of the resurrection. If there was no resurrection, there would be nothing. Jesus would just be another good teacher. That would be it. God of second chances, He nullifies the failures of the past. What a powerful resurrection. Now remember, what does it mean to repent? When we repent and we take that second chance, that means we change. We strive for change. We don't just repent and keep on doing it on purpose over and over and over and keep on failing on purpose over and over. No, we change. Because we want to make sure that that power that is available to give you new life, it's also available to help you through the process of changes. We cannot change on our own. It's impossible. It's impossible. If the heart doesn't change, in reality we haven't changed. We can change our external behavior. But if the heart doesn't change, sooner or later we go back to our old ways. That's why a lot of times you see people trying to change certain bad behaviors and they keep on going back to those bad behaviors. After they try to change, they just go back because the heart didn't change. And so when we repent from our heart, we repent, we stop doing what we're doing. We're starting a process right there of changing. But the power of the resurrection doesn't just help us to nullify our past. The power of resurrection also leads us in regain confidence in God and in ourselves. Regain confidence in God, first of all, and then in ourselves. The power of resurrection, when God gives you a second chance, a lot of times your mind will play tricks with you. And you will think about it. You will be one of those people who go back fishing, right? And try to pull out your sins from the past. And try to, you know, and you're remembering those things that you did. You remember those things that you fell in. Peter needed to regain confidence. So the Lord said, make sure you tell Peter that I rose from the dead. That I have the power to change the mistakes he made in the past. But even though God forgave him, it was still a process where Peter needed to regain confidence. When we have failed, we hurt ourselves to the point many times that we lose our confidence. We lose our confidence in God. We lose our confidence in ourselves. I'm sure Peter was sad because of what the text says, that he cries so much. Peter was sad, and things were happening to him that perhaps filled him with great depression. Peter got depressed. You might be wondering, how do you know that? You'll see it right now. But even though Peter was forgiven of his past by the power of the resurrection, he was still going through the process of regaining that confidence. Change doesn't come from one day to the next day. It's a process. A lot of people get discouraged because they go back home and they say, well, I heard the pastor say that the power of the resurrection can change me. And I pray and I gave God, I pray that God forgive my sins, and I pray that God will forgive my past. But why am I still struggling? Because it's a process. You will change through the process of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It's got to be a start. And you start when you ask for forgiveness, when you repent, and then there is a process that starts. And it's a process that takes a lifetime. Believe me, all the people that come to church here, we're not perfect. We come to church because we're not perfect. We come to church because we make so many mistakes. We fail so much. We sin so much. But even though Peter was forgiven of his past by the power of the resurrection, he was still going through the process of regaining his confidence. Look at John 21. John 21, you have it over here on the screen. It says that afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. This is a few days later, he appears to them in the Sea of Galilee. So the disciples, even though they have seen Jesus resurrected, it happened this way. It was Simon Peter. Notice that he's the first one in line. And that he was with other six disciples there. He was Simon Peter. He was there with Thomas, with Nathaniel. And he was with the sons of Zebedee. It was John and James. And there were other two disciples. They're not named. But they were all together. So Peter always had people. Remember when he said, I will not deny you, Lord. I will never do that. I will never make that mistake. So never say never, okay? You never know. And so Peter said, I will never make that mistake. I will never deny you. And there were the other disciples followed Peter and said, we're not going to do it either, Lord. So here is Peter now. He's all hurting because of his mistakes. Even though he's already repented, he's still feeling hurt. So if you ever feel hurt again, don't think it's not part of the process. Actually, sometimes it's good to feel hurt, because that means the Holy Spirit is working in your heart to let you know that there are things that still have to change in your life. It's an alarm that God puts in your heart. And so Peter, here he is. Now he's all depressed. Now he's hurting. But he's not hurting by himself. He's taking another six guys with him, total of seven guys. They follow Peter. They look up to Peter. As stubborn as he was, they looked up to him. And it says that they were together. And in verse 3, it says, Peter says, I'm going out fishing. So watch out with those guys who like fishing, okay? No, I'm kidding. You're not depressed. But Peter just wants to be by himself. Peter doesn't want company. But when he told them that, they said, We'll go with you, Peter. See, they're following him. Sometimes you don't realize how people look up to you. We make mistakes. We sin against God. When we repent and we're in the process, other people are looking at us. Your kids are looking at you. Your family, your friends, they're looking at you and they're seeing if you are really being transformed by the power of God. They're looking at you and saying, if you are transformed by the power of God despite of your mistakes, then I can also be transformed. It's amazing how people look up to us sometimes. And here they go again. You know, here we go with you too again, Peter. We'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. They couldn't fish anything at all. God knows that when you are in the process, God will always show up when you most need it. You can be sure of that. God will show up when you most need it. When you most needed the encouragement, God will be there. God will be there. A lot of times, God allows you to get to the end of the tunnel before He reaches out, because He wants to know. He wants you to see how much you can trust in the Lord. So at the end, they were there all night. Early in the morning, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but His disciples didn't realize that he was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you fish? Haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Notice what happened in verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is talking about John. John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." It is the Lord, Peter. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," look at what Peter did. He wrapped his outer garments around, for he had taken it off. He was naked in the boat. He had taken it off and he wrapped it around his waist, and he jumped into the water. Immediately, Peter knew what the Lord was doing there. Peter knew that in this process, he needed encouragement, and Jesus was there to encourage him. Have you ever needed encouragement in your life? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't get discouraged. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't experience depression. If anybody told you that lie, it is a lie. We are human beings made out of emotions. And our emotions, a lot of time, play a big part in our lives. But the Lord will always be there when we most needing Him. He threw Himself into the water. And the other disciples follow in the boat. These guys didn't want to swim. Towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it. Not from their fish, but the Lord already had fish there with them. In other words, God always has what you need. And He appears at the moment you most need Him. All He wants to know if there is a repentant heart. Is your heart repented from those sins and mistakes that you have made? And His power, the power of the resurrection, is willing to change your life. The question is, would you give the power of the resurrection a chance to change your life? And you're not going to change from tomorrow. You might be the same as today, but your heart can start a process of changes. It starts with the first step, by giving your life to Christ, to the risen Savior. When they landed, they saw the fire, and there was fish already. There was already fish, and there was already fire with fish. In the process, God always has a way to comfort you, to comfort me, so we can regain confidence. Peter was not just depressed, but he lost confidence. They were not fishing anything. And until the Lord said, "You're going to regain your confidence, Peter. Throw the net to the right." Don't forget, Peter had failed hard. I don't know how hard you fell in your life before. But Jesus raised to life to justify Peter, to justify you, to justify me, just as we have never done anything wrong. Isn't that beautiful? That my sins can be erased. Isn't that beautiful that I can start a new beginning with God? And at the moment when Peter repented and was forgiven by the Lord, he entered a process of restoration in his life. And in this process, he was going to have those moments of doubt. They're always going to be there. But the Lord will always be there when you most need Him. Jesus rose to life for your justification. This is what the changing power of the resurrection can do for you. And because of the resurrection, our sins are forgiven. Our life has purpose. And our future is full of hope. So I hope that if you give the power of the resurrection a chance, you will see what God can do in your life. Don't deny God. Don't deny God that possibility of changing your life. And if you have tried to change in any way, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You are going to need the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will change your life. You got to trust. You got to trust. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you so much for what you have done for us. And the fact that you rose from the dead to justify us. You died for our sins, but we are justified by your resurrection. And I just pray, Father, for every single person in this place, that in your love and your mercy, Lord, you will all move our hearts to repent of our failures and our mistakes, to repent of our sins, so that we get that chance that we need to have to change those things in our lives that we don't like. To change those things in our lives that sometimes makes us hurt other people. To change those things in our lives that hurt ourselves. Because we can enter a process of transformation. Dear Lord, we pray that if anybody here wants to enter that process, this will be the moment that they can just start that process by giving you their lives. So with your eyes closed, right there where you are sitting, after hearing the story about Peter and how he failed and how the Lord kept on giving him another chance by the power of the resurrection, you can also do that. Just tell Jesus, "My Lord, I am repenting of my sins. I had failed so much, but I am tired of hurting. I want to give you my life. And I want you to start that process in me. A process that is not going to be automatic. That process that I need to start being transformed, to be a different person, to love you, Lord, and to love others. Just ask God to forgive you of your sins. Have a heart of repentance. And tell Jesus, I want to receive you in my life." Father, if anybody has prayed that prayer, I just pray, Father, that you will help us. Help those who are starting in this process of transformation. Help us, Lord, change those things that we cannot change in ourselves. We thank you so much because you died for our sins, but you rose from the dead to forgive us and to justify us. Thank you for what you did on the cross, and thank you for not staying in the tomb, but to show us the power of the resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen.